The US President Donald Trump will host Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu for talks at the White House next Monday. This comes as the US leader stepped up his push on the Israeli government and Hamas to broker a ceasefire and hostage agreement and bring about an end to the war in Gaza. Oliver McTiernan is Director of Forward Thinking, a mediation and conflict resolution NGO. And Oliver, good morning and welcome to the programme.
Thank you, Mary.
We've seen, I suppose, typical Donald Trump social media posts: make the deal in Gaza, get the hostages back, predicting a ceasefire in Gaza within a week. Do you share any of the optimism of those Donald Trump posts?
Mary, by nature, I am an optimist, but in this case, I only wish I could share Trump's prediction. My fear is that as of last night, I understand there's been no real engagement with those that should be in talks now if you're going to have a deal by next week. So I think it is Trump talking something up. The risk is when this happens, then he presents a proposal that the others cannot accept. And therefore the blame game begins and the cycle of violence continues. So let's live in hope. But I fear in this case, I'd be very, very sceptical that that can be achieved.
Let's explore this further. You say there's no real sign of any talks. Do you mean talks involving at this stage a Hamas? Is that not being brokered or mediated by Qatar and Egypt?
As far as I understand, no. Remember, we had the ceasefire mid-January. That was signed and it was working well. And then Netanyahu decided after 2 months he didn't want to go into the second phase because that effectively would have led to the end of the war in Gaza if it had proceeded in the same way as the first phase. So Trump gave him the go-ahead to break the terms, and they then produced this Witkoff plan, which again was done without any prior negotiation consultation. So I just fear that we're in the same process now. Mary, I hope sincerely I'm wrong, because we've witnessed too much death, too much suffering and pain in Gaza and for the hostages and their families. So let's hope this time something will proceed. Trump tomorrow could stop the war in Gaza. Mm. As he stopped those 52 planes flying to Tehran, he could equally say to Netanyahu, enough, you've got to stop it now, and we've got to get this ceasefire made, a permanent ceasefire, and the restoration of Gaza. He has that power.
He does. He holds the power. He holds the arms. He holds all the cards, really, doesn't he? The keys to forcing the hand of Benjamin Netanyahu. Is the time perhaps not right for him to exercise that power and influence?
Mary, nothing has changed. You know, I was in Jerusalem 3 weeks ago when the vote in the Knesset was on the draft of the ultra-Orthodox young men into the IDF. Now, a patch-up was made, sort of an agreement that wouldn't have lasted. The Orthodox parties didn't bring the government down. But within 12 hours, we saw Netanyahu had launched a war against Iran. The attack, the preemptive strike in Iran took place. Now, my fear is that's a good indication that to survive, Netanyahu needs to continue the war in Gaza. And at no time has he said openly and publicly, I agree with the assessment of the generals. I think we've reached an impasse. We've achieved our objectives and therefore should end this war. I think if he ends the war, he will create again the internal conflict within the political classes in Israel. And I think he's not in a position prepared to do that.
And the focus back on Netanyahu again. Donald Trump has called his ongoing trial political witch hunt. He's called for an end to the prosecution. But has something else, actually, before I ask you if something has changed in Netanyahu's language, just that question about Donald Trump. If he has all this power and all this muscle that he could flex with Netanyahu, why does he not do it?
He doesn't do it, I think, simply because he has people around him. And in particular, there is a strong element of conservative evangelicalism, not all American evangelicals would share their view, who strongly believe that in a vision of Israel from the Jordan River to the Mediterranean Sea. And, you know, at the beginning of this war, I had it explained very carefully in the Knesset again that this was a chance to implement what they call the Third Commonwealth, that Gaza be cleared of its people into Egypt, the West Bank into Jordan, southern Lebanon to the Litani River be cleared, and then you had the Jewish Third Commonwealth from the River Jordan to the sea. I think there are people who believe in that vision close to Trump and are probably advising him against prohibiting Netanyahu from continuing. But I think the problem lies with Biden. Biden set the tone right at the beginning of this war when he said there are no red lines between Israel and America. In other words, the international rule-based order that grew out of the tremendous horrors of the Second World War, that doesn't apply. There will be no accountability for your actions. And I think that, to me, is the root of the problem.
Oliver, thank you very much for joining us this morning. Oliver McTiernan there at 20 minutes past 8.